Matthew 22:34. I love my music department. I guess I've really stirred up the pure hearts of our wonderful people when I got into this subject of the love of the Lord, even though I did break many mysteries in this particular subject. It's funny how some of you come running up and give me a scenario of something and then ask me if you're in the love of Jesus in the scenario. You should have seen the looks on some of your faces when I said, no, that's not the love of God. And you looked at me like wrath was going to come down on you. Hey, listen. I just want to let you know the reason I'm talking on love, it's one area I've perfected in myself. I just lied. In Matthew 22, we have the two great commandments that are mentioned. This is where, and of course, this had to have been a Sadducee that spoke this, but he said, one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And what we've covered is, when you go back into the Old Testament, you don't actually find two commandments, but you find two categories of commandments. The first four was how to love God with all your heart. Then the next six commandments is how to love your neighbor as yourself. And so there's where we find those two commandments mentioned. In verse 39, he says, the second is like it. The word like is really the word homos, which means the same. That's where we get the term homosexual. It means someone with the same sex. Well, here it's referring to someone with the same love that you have for God as what you should have for your neighbor. That's almost hard to comprehend because the church, at least the generation that I was raised in, we always had a strong conviction that when we heard the gospel preached, it was always bent towards how we love God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, and with our whole mind. But not too much was really focused on the neighbor. And there's where the downfall is, because the church has gotten a strong conviction that they have to commit themselves to love God with the whole person that they are, but not their neighbor. And I just want to say this, and say it in as best taste that I can. In Romans 5:5, it says the love of God was poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's why the book of 1 John is so powerful, because it talks about how the Holy Spirit has an anointing that works within us to know how to love our neighbor as ourself. And God did not pour His love out into our hearts so that He would be able to love Himself through us. That was not God's intention. If you think that was His intention, that what you've done is you've empowered God to have no greater love than what man has. See. But God did not pour His love out in our hearts to just love Him back only. But God poured His love out for all mankind to benefit from it, not just for Himself. And see, this is what we've got to learn to understand. Now, again, we talked about it saying here that it requires all of our heart, and all of our soul, and with all our mind. The word all is a very interesting word. it usually can refer to a number. And the number it usually refers to is complete. In other words, there's nothing left behind. It's all there. And so he's saying to love God, it requires all our heart. You see, because why is that? Because we're only willing to love God in a measure. But if you really want to love God, it requires not a measure. It requires all of you. The word soul is a word psuche, which literally means the mind of the senses. It literally means sensual knowledge or insight. And here it says all of it. And then, of course, the third one is the word mind, which really is referring to when a man possesses knowledge, it ends up in the mind, how a man thinks. It says here that in order to love God, it requires all of that knowledge towards Him. And again, when you study all three of these and their meanings, it's very interesting. I fall into the same category as the rest of you, in spite of my mouth, that I can only love in a measure. And why is that? Because I'm living here and not there. If I was living there, I would have had no problem with any of you here. Because I'm there. But because I'm here, there's where the problem can be. And so we studied about the four different kinds of love. The English only has one word for love, and that can attach itself to anything. But the Greek knew about four different kinds of love. One was called literally eros, which you don't find in the Bible, but you find the meaning to eros in the Bible. Fornication, adultery, things like that. But eros is mainly love for sex, sexual love. Then the second word for love is storge, which literally means family affection outside of your personal home. This is where church family comes into play. And then you have the word phileo, which centers more on personal family. The focus is on bloodline. This is where love grows a little deeper. And then, of course, the fourth one is agape. And agape has to do with the mind in its the mind in a principle. It has a principle to the mind by which we deliberately choose to live by. Agape is supremely to do with the will. It is, in fact, a deliberate conquest and achievement of the will of a person. When a person gets to this point of love, agape, it literally means he's given himself over to the full meaning of this word. Now, the thing about these four different kinds of love is they existed long before Jesus came on the scene. Matter of fact, when I started going to Rhema, I was ended up in a Greek school. Sue remembers it well because she had to sit up many times and hold up cards for me to memorize all the different junk. She's to this day she hated it because this means this and this. But what had happened was I was being taught something one place and then taught something else in another, and I couldn't figure out how the two come together. But thank God over the years he helped me bridge the understanding between both, because both had an element of truth working in it. But the thing that I never could understand is how sinners could agape. Because I was being taught in another place that agape is a God kind of love that came on the scene for mankind. But when I was going my Greek class, they were saying, no, agape existed long before Jesus, and man possessed it. And then one day my Greek teacher literally showed me all these scriptures. He went and looked them up and wrote them down for me. And he says, these are all sinners agape. And then, of course, then I went home and then I looked it up in Matthew chapter 5, Luke chapter 6, and there's verses right there that says sinners agape. Well, I didn't know how to give identification to that until I've been praying in the last year or so is when I finally broke this mystery. It's only been the last year. And And the Lord said he never came to introduce a new kind of love. He said, you're not going to find that in Scripture. Boy, that did a number on my thinking because I went back through it. And there's nothing there that would indicate a different kind of love that he introduced. But you know what he did introduce? A new kind of application to the old four. Are you guys with me? So if all four of these loves were here, and they were rooted in mankind, even agape was rooted in man. You know how it was rooted in man? Because agape was his highest achievement for his own self goals. Agape was rooted in the man, which created those areas of, number one, selfishness. When a sinner came into a place of agape, it was for a purpose to have a certain attitude of his mind. It would order a certain attitude of his mind, but it was centered around himself. The second thing that he obtained to was a certain will towards men when he attained to agape. In other words, choosing to live for himself. Then he with that came a certain will towards men. Then the third area is he had a certain achievement to succeed by. So if he obtained to agape before Jesus ever came on the scene, and he had obtained to that, he obtained to it for the purpose of his own self-achievement. Right. He did everything to bend his will towards himself to achieve what he wanted to. And then, of course, the fourth area is he then developed a certain faith to have in order to achieve success, but it was in this life. And we've got messages being preached like that. And so God's love then had to manifest in this realm in correct application for the four different meanings that man experienced in himself concerning love. Because the applications for them was rooted in self. Man had no chance to survive with each other because they were rooted in themselves. How many of you are following what I'm saying? Am I making this real simple for you? God did not bring a new love for man, but to redirect man's love through a completely different application. For the strength needed to know what the fullness of Christ is in our hearts. For the strength of God to be known in our hearts. When you're not maturing in love, you're a flake. Because your love is more subject to self than anything else. Now, if you will, that I've said that, turn to Matthew chapter 5. We'll go there. And we're going to look at the first mention of difference of application. Matthew chapter 5. And go to verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Notice his heart keeps coming in here. And if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Wow. Let's jump down to verse 43 before we go any further, and let me capitalize on what we just read. How many of you in your walk with the Lord, in your life, let's get it down really where we're at. How many of you just recently in your life have suffered a little by overcoming something in your flesh that you permitted before? I just recently had to do that. And it wasn't blatant sin, but it was something that a part of me craved. And it came through my eye. Do you know when he said, pluck it out? How many of you would like to really gouge your eyeball out if you looked at pornography? Which one of you would do that? I don't think anybody in here would take a knife and... But I'll tell you what, you don't have to pluck the eyeball out to cut it off. You can quit feeding the eyeball. Why? Shut off the images. For men, that's hard. Cut them off. What about doing business illegally? That's where the hand comes in. Lift up holy hands. It means hands that do not violate the proper work ethics. Well, which hand would you cut off to stop that? Cheating and lying and stealing. Which hand? I wouldn't want none of them. Then cause the hand as though it were cut off. You know what that does when you give up sin? Something goes to hurting you when you do that. Because the members of your body wants to have fellowship with what should have been cut off. And when you cut it off and it still remains on you, that's just as hard as if it's easier to pluck the eyeball out, people. And so he's talking about self-sacrifice, really, is what he's coming to. So jump down to verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is a quote out of the Old Testament. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you... love those who love you. What reward have you? Do not even tax collectors? Boy, that was a hard one for Jesus to say. They were hated by the common people. Do the same? Do the same what? Do the same to you is love you? And it's the word agape. And if you greet your brethren only... what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Boy, I wish I had time to connect all of these scriptures right to 1 John. They're all there. Now notice, there are four areas that these four kinds of love rooted themselves in man. Selfishness, self-centeredness, no faithfulness, and no faith. Those four loves, what spawned in the heart of men. Selfishness, self-centeredness, no faithfulness, and no faith. And Jesus' meaning to love would change that. Now notice he said, God sends rain on the just and the unjust, on the evil and the good. That is to say, no matter what a man is like, God seeks nothing but his highest good. Because he wants it to fall on both. I'm going to tell you something. One thing that keeps me from throwing my shoe through my TV set is that when a preacher gets on, I would rather turn to an action flick that I shouldn't be watching than to sit and listen to a minister say, God brought evil on the earth to get men to repent from their sin. Yeah. I want to take my shoe and either throw it through the TV or change the channel, watch a movie I shouldn't be watching. Yeah. Why? Because that'll do more damage to a man's mind than watching some action flick. And that is to have the wrong concept of God. God had nothing to do with these world catastrophes that come on mankind. Jesus said they were going to come. Why? Because Satan's the god of this world. And he's not going to use me as an enemy to the cross to say God brought that evil so men would repent of their sin. God poured his wrath out through his Son, on his Son, that the world might be saved through him. It is the goodness of God that leads men to change, not the severity of God. I hate that kind of doctrine. And I hate it when Christians stand up and say, well, we don't understand why God brought the water, the floods. Go read Genesis 8. God said he wouldn't judge man by water anymore. So who brought it? The devil did. God's love, application to love, these four loves, is the power to love the unlovable, to love people we don't like. It is asking us to love from a different plane than those closest to us. It is the action of God, what is cited in Scripture. Turn over to Luke 6. Now, once we establish the action of the love of God, then I'm going to take you and show you how it should grow in you.
That's where we don't like the Word of God on our flesh.
In Luke chapter 6, verse 27, similar statements. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Aren't you special? Because you fall right in line with sinners. For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, and hoping, actually that's the word expecting, for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Oh my gosh, he's kind to the unthankful? And boy, what a revelation. No, I haven't heard many ministers come across with this verse. Is it really in our scripture? God's kind to the unthankful and evil? Therefore be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For what with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now let's stop. What is he saying here? He's saying when you get to heaven, it'll be worth it all. He's talking about the return you'll get from mankind while you're here. Boy, when you learn how to love people that are not lovable, what a return you can have back from them. You know, years ago, I thank God for the Holy Spirit in my heart. I made a decision when I was first growing in the things of God. I'd go to church and hear one thing, and I'd go to the Word of God and get something else. And boy, talk about when you're young in the Lord, how confused you can be. And I had to run off to the backside of Point Defiance Park there and pray out the mystery. I said, God, I was told this, and this is what I'm reading here in Scripture. How many of you have been around sinners that swear? I got news for you. Even present tense, I'm around them, and they swear. I'll never correct them. You want to know why? Because they're doing what comes natural to them. But I want to build a relationship with them. I want to stick in there something that's good and wholesome for them. not judge them. Because they don't know whether they're wrong or not. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Now, if the sinner is overboard with his language, I might be very careful how I approach it, but I would approach it in a manner that would be more edifying to him than judgmental. I heard a story about John Shearer. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. But when I heard the story, I laughed so hard I almost fell off my chair. John got a new boss. John Shearer got a new boss at work. And he was famous for the four-letter word. Everything was four-letter this and four-letter that. So they were in a meeting and it was just rampant. And so John, he raises his hand to ask him a question. Guy says, "Yes, John." He says, "So are we learning a new vocabulary here?" When I heard that, I was so proud of him. So then the guy, I guess, evidently watched what he was saying afterwards. But it's just a matter of how you approach people. Try not to judge the sinner. Because my Bible tells me we're not to judge them. We're to judge those that are within the church. Amen. So you have to be careful how you handle yourself with mankind. And here in Luke chapter 6, it says if you learn how to handle yourself with people, it will be given back to you in a good measure. And that's why love can never fail. Love with anybody can never fail because you're working the application of God's kind of love with people. Amen. See, the sinner doesn't know that Jesus came into the world to judge them. Listen. Jesus didn't come to the world to judge him. Jesus came to the world that the world might be saved through him. Right. Well, then Pastor, tell me, when sinners do wrong, then what is our application, sir? Well, the first approach, when you know that love is working in you, the first thing you've got to know, it's going to require a giving of yourself and not them. Right. So you have to come up with an answer that will help assist them for change, not judge them for it. Because when you use your God kind of love to judge somebody with it, you better make sure that your life is pure. Because they will turn around and find something in you to judge you with to excuse them. Because if it's in you, then it can be in them. Well, we'll get into that in the application, how love grows in us. But I want us to learn something about this little chip that you find in people and this trespassing that you find in me. Many of us don't know how to approach when enough is enough. So we use this little word, discernment. 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 You know what discernment means? Discernment means knowledge that comes through the senses. It means that you arrived at some kind of knowledge through what you have seen. Or maybe heard. Smell. Taste. What we call the soul. The mind of the senses. Now if our discernment is on that plane, that's not the God kind of love. Turn over to Philippians. And we're going to close on this one. Because I don't want to put out too much there. I just want to get the feeling of where I'm coming from to all of you. So that we can get right into how does love grow in us from God. Number one, you've got to have a different application than judgment. Yeah, I'll give you a little sneak preview here. Paul wrote to the Philippians, and this is one of his first churches that he founded. And he said something here that was really great in verse 9. And this verse is loaded because of the information it gives us. So let's read chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Now let's get the full impact of this verse. First of all, he says that he's praying that the church's love would abound still more and more. The word abound really is an interesting word. It means that it's requiring a greater measure than what is needed to succeed with. It's referring to a measure that's greater than what's required. Because he uses the word more and more. An increase. So, with every step, he's praying, with every step, our love would abound, grow in a greater measure. Do you know that baby Christians are more easily offended over trivial things than weightier things? That just goes with the territory. You know what I tell believers that are offended by every little thing? I tell them nothing. Why? Because I want to develop a fellowship with them to infect them more with what they need. Because listen, immature babies can't handle much. They can't handle much with people. Why? Because they don't know how to give out of themselves. See, the more that you're a baby, the more you want people to care for you in your position. But the more you grow up, the more you give out of yourself for their position. Say, Pastor, good preaching. Even though I might not agree with it. Thank you. So he says that I pray that your love will continue to abound in a greater measure than what is needed, more and more. Now notice this wording here. In knowledge and all discernment. Now I want you to underline the word in knowledge. In knowledge. This is a Greek word, epignosis. It means a knowledge that is derived above the sensual plane. Sensual knowledge. How many of you follow what I'm saying? That our love would grow to a greater measure being brought through a greater understanding in a knowledge that is not of this level. It's from a higher level. Yeah. It's called epignosis. It means a knowledge greater than sensual knowledge. Right. Means revelation. Something that has to be revealed to you from the normal plane of things. And notice, and all discernment, here we got that word all again. Matter of fact, epignosis is exact knowledge, means correct knowledge. A knowledge that's not bound by the sensual plane or understanding. Then we have the word here for discernment. And this is a word that literally means knowledge based upon experience. And most of us want our love to come through this kind of discernment than the kind that he's mentioning in this verse that comes from epignosis, not sensual knowledge. Because when he says in knowledge and all discernment, he's saying this discernment has to come through this kind of knowledge, not sensual knowledge, not what you see in the natural. You want to know why? People make mistakes in this realm. People are lovers for themselves. People are perverted when they're self-centered. People make mistakes. People don't walk perfect for you. People don't do everything just because you want it that way. Because you're a little hireling. Why? You hire people into your life, and if they don't meet up with your little standard, you... God hates that kind of love because it was here long before. And most of the church loves on the plane of those four loves, but it's all centered around themselves. It's not centered around the love that they have developed for God with their whole heart and with their whole soul and with their whole mind. Because they don't honor God in the way He thinks. And you can't grow in love if you honor your thinking over His. It requires all that what you think about yourself. Now, he says here that he wants us to abound more and more in a discernment that comes through epinosis, not natural discernment. So discernment comes two ways. It comes by what you see in people, and it comes by what you read and reveal to you through Scripture. Where are you ordering your discernment? Well, I'm going to tell you, when you're a pastor in this church, and some of you have been with me in problems that we had in this church, and the most difficult thing for me to do is to judge somebody according to a righteous standard through the Word, and you wanting me to judge them according to your sensual insight of them. And there's where pastoring gets tough. Well, because we have to do what God tells us to do, not what you think it should be done. You guys are getting something here, right? If I see somebody carry a sack of tomatoes in next Sunday, I'm going to remind you I'm not going to talk on love as it's Easter Sunday. So keep your tomatoes at home till the following Sunday. Now, we're going to introduce this subject and then shut down. Pastor, how does God's love grow in me? Well, we all know that. If they would just conform to us. Well, let's all look at the full measure, all. You know, how many of you have baked things? Sue, she always baked. How many of you use measures whenever you bake? I see one guy back there shake his head. No, I don't use a measure. Wow. How does it come out? So, a measure would kind of answer, where do we start with? Well, we start with a measure. Before I can evaluate a measure, I need a container to measure its fullness. Where do I get a container to measure with? Can anybody tell me? You guys want to see it? You guys want to see the container that God uses for the full measure? It's you. You're the container. You. You're the container. And guess what God says about you as the container? He wants all of you. He wants all of your heart. He wants all of your soul. And He wants all of your mind. Well, that's no problem. It is not a problem. Providing that same requirement is what's required for your neighbor. Why? Because you can see your neighbor. You can't see God. You can love God whom you can't see. It's your neighbor who you see you got the problem with. There's where your measure has got to work. With your neighbor as well as God. Now listen, I got news for you people. If the Holy Ghost has been poured, pours out the love of God in our hearts, I'm going to tell you something. God did not pour His love out in our hearts to love Him back. You know, that'd be like you and me making a robot. And then you take all your love and put it into the robot in a chip form that comes back and says, when you crank it up, I love you, Jen. I love you, Jen. I kiss you, Jen. I love you, Jen. You're good to me. You feed me. You take care of me. I love you. You're a really neat brother, sister, pastor. Got good prophecy this morning. I love you. So you get down on yourself and crank your little man up. And then he comes, you hit him, and he comes, I love you. I bet you, oh, I'm building myself up. And that's how we think God is. He poured His love out in your heart so He can hear you mimic back to Him what a wonderful God He is. You know what? That's like saying He wants to pour His love out in you for a measure back for Himself. No, God poured His love out in you so you can pour that measure out into somebody else, and then it gives glory back to God for what His love was intended for. Everybody say this with me. Oh me. We'll stop there. God is helping me so much to find the words to preach to you, to make it simple for you Sunday mornings. Is this simple enough for you guys?
Well, it's simple enough. I don't know whether I came with it or not.
God has a way of really communicating the truth to you all by your little own self without the help of your pastor. He uses your kids. He uses your wife. He uses your friends. If you think it's bad enough for your pastor to torture you, wait till your friends start picking up on this stuff and then start torturing you. So we only have one direction, people: conformity. Let me wash your brain with the Word of God. Stand up, everybody. Father, I thank you so much that there's a place we can all go to where we could never be offended again or hurt. That people can be what they are because our faith will still cause us to have victory over what the world can dictate to us. Thank you, Father, that this is the victory that overcometh the world. It is our faith, especially in you. Father, I thank you for your love and the application of it, because that's what causes me to bring a good witness to your name for a world that doesn't know you. Father, I thank you for the application of love that we can have for one another before a dying world that doesn't know what love is. Father, I thank you that you didn't come to remove any loves that man had working in them. You come to uproot it out of their physical being and plant it in their spirit. Father, cause all of us to grow to that full measure of giving of ourself, uprooting ourself, for those loves to work through us in the full measure that God intended for it out of our innermost being. So today, Father, as we close this service, before we literally shut it up, Father, I pray that this message reaches every housetop so that the whole world would become accountable to God's love and understanding. For this is a powerful message, Father. The world could only know about it. Father, if there be anybody here that has never given their heart to Jesus for salvation, never confessed Jesus as their Lord, even questioned whether they're saved or not, they need that reassurance that they're born from above, that Jesus resides in them. And if there's anybody here, Father, that has never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in that spirit language, tongues, we want to pray for them. And also, Father, if someone is having a struggle for physical healing, we want to pray for them. Let your love come upon them. And the last thing is, we have a hospitality room in the back that we encourage those of you here for the first time or maybe have been visiting and would like to come into the hospitality room to meet with us. I'll be glad to meet with you there. So with that being said, when I dismiss, those that need salvation, those that need the baptism, those that need healing, feel free to come up once we dismiss. With that said, you're dismissed. God bless you. Have a good day.